It's a pity that the first incident happened when it was wet. It's bad luck to begin a novel with rain falling over London. This novel is probably doomed for other reasons as well. Superheroes are snares to bring stories of darkness and despair. London in the rain, less so. The embankment was wet. The embankment often is wet, for London is a city that enjoys its rain. The chill fell straight from the sky that day, and the few people walking the embankment hurried to get where they were going. They looked at the gentle ripples and the wetness of the surface beneath their feet and kept an eye on it rather than checking the buildings or the sky, for the rain rendered the grey surroundings bleak. If their intention had been to stand near the edge and lean on the sturdy stone and admire the London Eye, this intention was washed away with the first cold drop, and tourists went back to the station or straight to another tourist hotspot to find comfort. The wetness grew colder and damper, then even more cold and yet more damp, and 30 metres of the embankment rumbled softly into nothing, stone by stone. All that was left was half the road. The remaining rubble separated from solid land and dropped down into mud and crumbled rock and the ever-changing border between Thames and land. The infrastructure the Grant had hidden was replaced by an old verge. The old verge was littered with scraps of everyday life. Although 5 people died, the comment the media ran with was from the moment when a politician stood on a half block of rock too close to the shoreline and, looking down to the river, exclaimed for the media, "Bloody hell, we've lost 800 years!" He then fell the half metre off that rock and, clutching his phone for safety, was doused by the new mud at the base of the new slope. The politician staggered to his feet, still clutching his phone in his right hand, but holding a small but muddy white pipe in his left. He bent down to rinse the pipe, then walked back up the slope and stopped before he reached the bustle of journalists. "I was wrong," he said, being somewhat of an amateur historian. "Make that 400 years. It may have been this comment, or it may have been that the politician was right, or it may have been of the urgency of the loss of infrastructure at that particular corner of London, for everyone involved instantly handed the problem upstream to the permanent secretary for the non-natural environment. The non-natural environment officers were sent the pipe for analysis along with a goodly measure of mud and rubble. The pipe came to the permanent secretary after its time in the laboratory. The mud and rubble remained in the laboratory. Near the Thames, the embankment and its hidden infrastructure was rebuilt as quickly as possible. The second incident took place in Milk Street, where the rain was much lighter. It was a Saturday morning, and the regular folk were headed to their regular event down the road. One of the people was a new visitor to London. She said to her recently acquired best friend, who had to lean over a bit to hear her since one was short and bright and the other was tall and slender and frighteningly elegant, "You realise that if we were walking in this very place in our own universe, the synagogue would not exist?" "Why do I bring you places?" her friend asked rhetorically. "You're not even Jewish. Let's go to the pub and have a drink. I need a glass of wine more than I need a group of devout people doing the proper thing in the proper way. What about the person who wanted to meet us here? I mean, isn't there a meeting? As long as we're back by the end of the service, she'll be fine. We can catch her on the way out. We're not really supposed to meet today anyway. She works and we work, but we're quiet about it because otherwise it'd be offensive. And we should whisper some things. No one knows where we come from, remember? I don't want to remember. I refuse to be a hero when I can be a sodding alcoholic. I need that drink." As they turned into Poultry, a big bang echoed round them and rattled the windows. The younger woman turned and darted straight into the mess. Her friend sighed and followed the blazing purple spiked hair. She was able to remain sedate because her friend carried that banner to her presence everywhere she went. Her own hair was politely tinged to match the colour in her favourite scarf. There was a silence. "Injured people, dead people, broken building, tattered. Hey, Green, look," said the younger. "Don't pick it up," said Ari Green. "Take pictures and then let's get out. We have to report this." The explosion had torn down the front of the building. The stones at that precise place were different to the building that remained. Not stones, bricks. Old building had been replaced by new. It looked like the buildings on the other side of the street, except the new torn building had posters, and those posters were government ones featuring a swastika. The ambulance came and the police came and they helped the wounded and packaged the dead and sealed off the whole of the second tiny corner of central London. No one would be doing any work in that street or attending synagogue nearby until the government had investigated, more for the non-naturals, although this time it was delivered first through those photographs and only later from the slow official investigation. The younger woman had already sent the pictures home as well as to their contact. It had taken her mere instants, and her hair had attracted more attention than her work. That hair was indeed a very bright purple. The permanent secretary wrote a small note in reply to those pictures. It arrived at Uri Green's postal address the next day. Then she went to a funeral, for one of the dead from the second incident was a civil servant. The letter. Ms. Green. Further to discussion concerning recent events, we believe our people could usefully work together. We have reached the realisation that the source of both our difficulties might rest at least partly within the United Kingdom, and that it now demonstrates clear evidence of dangerous intent for both our countries. We look forward to working with you again, however disappointing the reason. We will arrange for the tourist visas you and your new associate hold to be modified accordingly. We will also arrange accommodation. You will work directly to me. I will expect you in the office on Monday morning. Yours, Benedicta Baker, Permanent Secretary for the Non-Natural Environment, on behalf of both her own office and the office of the Merlin. P.S. On a personal note, when you next send us material through your associate, we would rather they did not address it to Magic Inc. Our formal name will suffice.